Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Y'all know I am crunchy mama to the max, but when it comes to seasonal allergies, I don't play. I can't afford to. Y'all, I've had the worst seasonal allergies my entire life. I have missed out on so much of the spring because I've had to stay inside while people are outside having fun. I've gone on these amazing retreats and literally just looked out the window watching people have the most amazing time. Because my allergies can't do it. I am straight up, I just can't do it. My eyes get itchy and red and watery. I can't keep makeup on. My nose drips. My throat gets clogged up. And I'm telling y'all, my face swells. It gets itchy. I really, really need support and help when it comes to seasonal allergies. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. I am pregnant right now, so I'm not able to take it. So please, you guys, if you have seasonal allergies, for my sake, go get some and experience what it's like to breathe a little bit. I've taken Claritin D for so much of my life. And when I'm not pregnant, I do take it. It's so, so helpful. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Call Her Holy. I'm Laura Eldridge.
And I'm Nicoletta Bradley.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Come on, baby.
Nico, are you traveling? I'm going to go ahead and say my 100% answer is yes, because when are you not?
Okay, actually, I'm slowing down on the travel.
You are?
I'm slowing down because I really want to make sure moving forward that Noble has the opportunity to be on Saturdays for girls that can't do during the week. And so looking at 2024, I'm trying to the best of my ability to stay in town.
Wow.
So stay tuned. I really want to do like a Noble on Saturday so that whether you're a working mom in your 40s, like truly any age can come, because reality is it's during the week that most people can't.
Y'all, Noble is so dope. I honestly need to rally a huge mom squad and make Nicoletta come do it in Dallas, because that would be fun.
Yeah, if you want me to come, put it on your school, put it on your youth group, holler at your girl, all the things. But I am traveling, yes, for Thanksgiving.
I love it.
I'm going to Santa Barbara. I'm really excited.
I love it. We're going down to Lake Travis, that's in the Austin area, I think.
Yes, it is.
I kind of do one of those things where it's like, if I don't really know where it is, like I think I know where it is, but I don't really mind if I'm not driving. It's just like wherever we're going is chill to me.
Yeah. Who are you going with?
My
friends,
husband.
Family?
Family.
Okay. Your side or his?
His.
Oh.
So we'll do his mom. We'll go hang out with them for Thanksgiving, and then we'll do my family for Christmas, and then other part of his family for Christmas too. So
wow, when you're married, you go lots of places compared to me. You got one spot and one spot only.
To prepare the single girls, you need to know that your life really does just get a little more complicated. I know it's so annoying when you hear people say like, oh my gosh, marriage is so hard, or oh my gosh, when you have kids, you just don't know how much time you have now before you have kids. It's so annoying. I understand that. But to prepare you, like, your time is just not your own in a way that is shocking. And it will shock you no matter how prepared you are. So just know, like, every single married person says, I wish I would have enjoyed my singleness.
Okay, can I say something that might make girls feel like, I can't believe you just said that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I had this thought. I had this thought literally recently. Okay, so once again, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. I'm 31 and single. Laura's married with a baby. And that's what makes this podcast so great, because we got two different opinions. But I realized, okay, 31, right?
Yeah.
Most of my life, I have been taken care of.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So grow up, you know what I mean? Your parents pay for you. They take care of you. And everything is up and to the right-ish. Right? Okay. So then the last few years, still pretty simple. Right? I don't really have anything crazy. Nothing is, I mean, yes, like I'm launching my own business. It's a lot. But reality is, like, I've been taken care of most of my life. So I had this thought that when I get married, because I believe the Lord has marriage for me, I will be experiencing the hardest things of the rest of my life. Think about it. Because my parents have not died yet. There hasn't been this crazy, I haven't had any financial like crazy things, no like insane health struggles. Except for the next 60 years, if the Lord has me living to 90, that's when stuff is going to get really tough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so parents are going to die, things are going to happen, all things. And you're doing it potentially with one person for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Where things are going to get challenging.
I think that, yeah, so one, I love where you're going with this.
Because I'm sitting here like, why am I wasting the easiest years of my life wishing them away?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Honestly, but LOL, you know me, if you followed along, like I'm actually thriving in singleness. Yeah. But
but it's a good perspective shift, like when you start getting down in the dumps.
Yes, like, reality is like you are going into the hard, like the last 30 years of your life have been the easiest. You're going into probably some of the most challenging years of life. One, make sure you pick a good one.
Yeah, totally.
That can hold your hand when your parents get old.
Totally.
And things get hard. But also, it's like I am wasting away the years where I don't have to spend Christmas potentially with three other families if the spouse that I'm marrying is from a divorced family.
Yeah, which is our situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What would you say to that?
I would say you're totally right. That is such a good and godly perspective. And we've talked about this on episodes before, and to some extent, not that way, but just about expecting life to be up and to the right. And
when, like, you get married.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Here's where people are probably like, no, you kind of think, but not for me. It'll be easier when I get married. Or it'll be like, well, I'm down for those challenges as long as I have someone with me. But what you don't realize, I texted my girlfriends yesterday. We were laughing so hard at this because it was like just the first thought that popped in my head in the morning as I'm taking care of a sick baby. I have had multiple days this week where I'm like, I look like I don't own a home. Like I just do. And that's the situation, because the reality is I'm taking care of everyone else's needs.
Yes.
And
that's what happens when you get married. It's not about you anymore. You are taking care of other people for the rest of your life.
Exactly. And so there's this whole self-care movement rising up against that. But there is a reality that is, to some extent, godly. Like, this, uniquely a woman, like, carries this load of taking care of everyone else. And it's my role. You know, it's my... So anyways, we can get into gender roles, but that's not what I'm talking about here. But just in general, as a mom, you will never again be able to put your own needs first. So just period. And being married, like, so anyways, you have a million other people and things to think about before you can think about yourself.
Totally.
And I texted my girlfriends. I was like, welcome to your 30s, honey. You got body problems, you got marriage problems, you got money problems, and at least one of the kids in your household is probably sick.
It's and like, I'm like spending 3 hours of my quiet time in the morning with no worries in the world.
Exactly. Because here's the thing, like, even if you have a healthy marriage, like, it's work. It's a lot of work. You and I have had conversations of like,
Laura's my married husband. You're the closest thing I have to a husband right now. Truly. Like, true. I have had more conflict with Laura, which makes us really good business partners, though.
Exactly. And it makes sense. It's like the people, it's iron sharpens iron, which the scriptures say. And it's literally this, like, sparks fly when iron is sharpening ironing. That's why marriage is so beautiful. Business partnership, it's so beautiful, but sparks fly. That's how you become better. Become more like Jesus. But it is work. It is such... It's hard work. And there are times when, as a married person and as a mom, you are like, I need to shower. I need to eat. I haven't had time alone. Like, I had my 10 minutes, or sometimes you get an hour to, like, read and dive into God's word. And half of that was, interrupted or whatever. And you do what you can. But, like, at the drop of the hat, like, you have other people to take care of and consider. And so I think we think life is up and to the right, and you don't know that by getting into marriage, yes, you are getting a partner to do everything with. And it is so worth it. Like, I am not here to preach that, oh my gosh, marriage is so much harder than singleness. Because, like, there are other things that are also lighter when you're in a healthy marriage. And it is amazing to get to do it together. But it is naive to think that it doesn't come with more troubles. Because, one, the scriptures say it comes with more troubles.
Yes.
Two, I can testify, like, in a really healthy marriage. Like, my marriage is healthier than probably 90% of the world.
Totally.
You've
had a great marriage.
And it's like such a gift, but it is a lot of work. And it's healthy because we put a lot of work into it. And
yes.
Raising a kid, y'all, I only have one kid, and which is a lot. Anyways, so we can do a whole thing on that. But just, I'm proud of you for living up your single life, Nicoletta. And I love the perspective that you just shared of, like, these are the easiest days of my life.
Yeah, no, and this is where I'll wrap us up, because I know this is actually not what we're talking about, shockingly. But I met Kate Tomlin. She does Heart of Dating this weekend at a wedding I was at, and we started talking about singleness, and I was so encouraged, because I full transparency, I didn't really know what her ministry was about. I knew that she talked a lot about singleness, but she basically told me her ministry is not to help single girls get in a relationship. Her ministry is all around how single years are really amazing, so live it up. And we got to talking, and I was so encouraged by her perspective, because she got married, I believe, at 34 or 35. And she was like, my goal is to tell girls to not waste these years. I just loved that, because it's so true. I think we waste our singleness waiting for the next season rather than embracing the opportunity that we have. And I think it's this picture of almost like, it's a lack mindset. It's like we're focused on what we're lacking rather than being focused on the abundance of what we have available to us as singles. And I'm just fired up about this, because I'm sitting here going, if I had a kid, Noble wouldn't exist right now.
Yeah.
Like, if you listen to last week's episode with my ex-boyfriend, I literally got vulnerable and was like, I thought you were it. Like, I wanted to marry you and you didn't want to marry me. And because of that, it made me basically remove the possibility of being a wife and replace it with, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. Which was then launching a nonprofit, which was what the Lord had. But I had time, I had margin, I had space that wasn't being filled with taking care of a husband and a family potentially.
It is so crazy, because it's so similar, Nico, to what happened with me in my singleness when I was waiting, and it was really hard. Like, I think you're doing singleness better than I was. I struggled really hard, and I lived it up. Like, I had much fun. I served the church like it's nobody's business, and I was making disciples. However, I was crying a lot. It was really hard, like different seasons of waiting. But, oh, shoot, I forgot what I was going to say. It was probably going to be good, but whatever. We could just move on.
Mom brain. Anyways, we are not talking about singleness or dating. We are talking about, though, something that a lot of y'all DM us about, especially going into the holidays. We're talking about food. We're talking about body image. And we're just talking about how do we handle some of the hardest things over the holiday season. And I'm really excited about this episode, because I was talking to a woman on my Noble board. She's an eating disorder psychologist. And she goes, the most joyful season has been taken from us. Like this thing, if you think about it, thankfulness or Thanksgiving is about being thankful. And then Christmas is about celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, who came and rescued us from our sin. Yet we are stuck in guilt and shame, robbing us from joy around what we eat.
Yeah.
And it's so, like, if you actually take a step back and realize, oh my gosh, holidays are being robbed from us. We're letting the enemy win after a day filled with food that we're supposed to approach with gratefulness. Instead, we're living in guilt and shame, over-exercising and punishing our body, when the Lord literally said, like, taste and see that I am good.
Yeah.
Like, taste and see that what I have given you is good, and don't let the enemy win. And so thank you for all the DMs that we got. We are excited to dive in. But first, I would love to hear your experience, Laura. Like, is food, I mean, if you've listened to my story at all, you know that food is like my ditch. It is so hard, body image, eating disorders, all the things. But what about you? Is this something that you struggle with on the holidays? What's your story? Give us a little.
Yeah, I've always worked really hard to stay in good shape, and I've always enjoyed it and like liked pushing myself. I like the challenge. I have some core memories, some of them being in high school when I couldn't have been tinier, and I thought totally. I could. And so if I felt like I was gaining a little bit of weight, I would just like eat a piece of turkey for lunch. So it was like restrictive. I was waking up at 5 a.m. to work out, but I would say it didn't consume me, but I definitely like I would control, you know, in a way that probably wasn't healthy. And then also the other core memory is I was like basically the runt of my family. I'm musical. I did theater performance. I cheered. I played guitar and wrote songs. Like, I just did all these artistic things and athletic things. I was a dancer. I was like competitive dancer. But my siblings, one, I'm the short one and they're all tall.
Yeah.
I'm the like more thick one and they're all lean, and they were like the volleyball players. My little sister did end up cheering, but they were like basketball, volleyball, baseball, like every, you know, other kind of sport under the sun. And so I was just like the runt of the family. So I think comments here and there would get me. But I remember coming home from college after the whole freshman 15 thing and hearing, like, I went to get seconds for something over Thanksgiving. This was over Thanksgiving. And I remember my grandpa saying, don't you think you should put that fork down?
No.
Like,
way.
I literally had a fork in my hand. And he said that. And he was like kind of joking, but also not. And things like that, like, really that really, they trigger me. And then so anyways, flash forward to my experience now as a mom. I was having this conversation with a friend earlier today, or actually last night, but about an opportunity that she has, which is really cool. And she's gonna be on camera, but we were just talking about how we want to hide right now. You know why? Because we're not, it's not that we're embarrassed by our bodies. Like, we, our bodies have done amazing things creating children, and our husbands love us, you know, but we don't feel like ourselves.
Yeah.
And some of that is a result of putting confidence in the wrong things in single years. And some of that is just like a, there's a reality to, you don't realize how much you're sacrificing as a mom, and you do want to hide. You do want to not take hold of as many opportunities when you feel like you're not your best self.
Yeah.
And I think that's a reality that a lot of single girls can also experience. Like, hey, I want to hide. I am only worthy. I am only good enough. I can only be in front of people if I have this ideal weight, or at least close to it.
Totally. And that's so relatable. And I know that in the last year, the Lord has really taken me on a healing journey. And for me, my story with the holidays is just honestly terrible memories. Like, holidays are marked with a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, a lot of overindulgence, a lot of restriction going into it, which then creates overindulgence and overexercising to beat myself up. And it's just this picture of the enemy has stolen my joy around this. And so totally relate to everything you said. But I really do want to touch on one thing that you said is, I want to talk to the girl whose mom makes comments about what she's eating on Thanksgiving or the holidays. Because I know for me, that is a big part of my story. My mom would always make comments of, are you sure you want to eat that? Which, granted, we have worked through that. That was when I was really struggling with an eating disorder. And she knew that at the time, if I were to eat that extra piece of pie, I would spiral. So she meant it actually in a loving way. But I took it as, are you sure you want to eat that? You're fat, or you're going to be fat if you do.
Yeah.
And so I think to that girl, I want to say that you have an audience of one. Your parents, your grandparents, your cousins, your siblings, your goal over the holiday season is, how can I honor my body? And a lot of times you might have a meal and you still might be a little bit hungry. Mm. You're allowed to have seconds. You're allowed, like, give yourself permission. But I think the good question to always ask yourself is, me going back for seconds honoring, or is me going back for seconds out of guilt and shame for what I just ate?
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of times we will have the bread, the mac and cheese, fill in the blank, and then the spiral of shame starts going. And it's, I've already messed up, therefore, screw it, time to blow it. I'm going to eat as much dessert as I want.
100%.
And that's what we need to ask ourselves when it comes to, if a family member makes comments of, oh, are you sure you want to eat that? Okay, why don't you ask the Lord if it's honoring to your body, instead of falling prey to other people's perspectives of what your body needs. You are in your body. You know what your body is, feels like. You know if seconds is honoring or if it's going to make you spiral.
Yeah. And I think sometimes there's this like war that happens though in our heads and our hearts. And it's, and it's what you said about robbing, like being robbed of the joy of holidays and enjoying family. And there's this, there's already this inner battle that's going on that we're like, should I be free? What's all that? You have so many feelings to navigate. It's like, y'all can fill in the blanks. And then somebody says something.
Yes.
Which is like, I need you to actually help me here and not
hurt me.
I have enough enemies in my head, you know, and I need you to actually contribute something of value and help me relax from that. Help me to have a little bit of peace and to switch that mindset.
Yes. And you don't know the insecurities that they're bringing in.
Yeah.
That's something really important to recognize is that your mom, I know for me, it's a generational curse. Like my grandma had an eating disorder. My mom struggled with an eating disorder. Therefore, I struggle with an eating disorder. And by God's grace, I'm already praying, if I have a daughter, that she no longer has that. But the question is, we don't know what lenses our parents are looking at food through. And so for you to take their comments on as truth for you isn't fair, because you don't know what insecurities they're speaking through. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because they might be approaching the dinner table really anxious. Therefore, the comment that they make directed towards your plate is actually more about your plate than it has to do with you at all.
Yeah, it's actually more about them.
Exactly. About
their plate. Yeah, totally. No, I think that's a really good point. And here's why that's important. It's important because it can help you have compassion. It can help you not demonize the person making those comments and saying, you can turn inward and be like, oh my gosh, you hate me. You think I'm fat. Why would you do this to me? I'm already struggling. And it's like, okay, What's a good response to something like that?
Which part?
To when somebody makes a comment, what is a good response to stop? I would say one, stop.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath and then think about, like, one, you're okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to have a wrestle that you and God can wrestle with. Two, where is that question coming from for them?
Yeah.
And you're going to have to really manage some of your emotions and all the things that happen right there. So you can go listen to our Crazy Girl Spiral.
Totally.
But like, after you take a deep breath, after you kind of manage what's happening in your head and your heart, or at least table that so you can come back to it, what would you say is a good thing to say next to that?
Two thoughts is, one, first step is you need to ask yourself if this is actually a conversation you need to have before going into holidays.
Good.
Because I know I've had to do that with my mom. I know that a few years ago, I just had to call her before the holidays started. And I said, hey, I love you. I need you to not make comments about my body, about my food, what I put on my plate. And I need all comments removed from the holidays, because it doesn't matter if you think it's uplifting. I'm working through a lot in my own struggles that I could take a helpful comment and twist it into a negative one. So can we remove this conversation from the table?
That's good.
And so I think that's the first step is going, do I need to have a conversation before it actually happens? And then, okay, let's say that you do. And then once you enter into the Thanksgiving meal, holiday meal, and they're still not respecting that. And then you can say, hey, this is kind of what I was talking about when I meant I really didn't want to have these conversations or these comments. That comment isn't helpful. I think always approaching with compassion. And if you've set the boundary before, you're allowed to confirm the boundary again. But let's say you didn't do that. I think that it's okay to even tell them your boundary in person at that moment and go, hey, I totally understand that you might feel a certain way about me getting seconds, but I need you to know, be vulnerable. I'm learning to honor my body. I'm learning to listen to my body. And in this process, I just need you to not make comments about food or body image right now, because I'm trying my best here. And so it really is being vulnerable and honest, being kind. You don't need to get angry. You don't need to yell. You don't need to be like, how dare you say that to me? Be like, hey, this is really vulnerable for me. Those comments aren't helpful. And so in the next few days, as we're celebrating with lots of food, can we please just not talk about that?
Yeah, that's really good. It takes a lot of courage. I think there are a lot of you listening who know there's that one person in your life, and maybe your mom or maybe your dad or one of your siblings, and you've never really established a relationship where you talk about stuff like this. I think a lot of us grew up in households where things just get swept under the rug. And so this might be shocking to them, but don't underestimate the power of God moving in those conversations. Who knows if your body image insecurity and your food situation, that everything that you feel towards that and your relationship with that person, who knows if this is the perfect setup to create change in your entire family.
Totally.
God could be using this struggle to be the thing that says, I have bigger plans. This isn't just about food and insecurity. This is about everything that I want to do in your family. And I'm going to ask you to be courageous and to be the first one that says, we're going to make a change. I'm going to step in and say, hey, we don't normally talk like this. And I don't know why, because I really think you guys are awesome. But I just want to say, I feel a little bit insecure about food coming in. You can call it triggers for the past. I know you have them too. You can call it insecurity about being single. I know you have your own insecurities, but I'm going to say this out loud and you might think I'm crazy, but I'm a little worried about food. And I think we should set a boundary to not talk about that during Thanksgiving.
I love that. And I think that's so important, because once again, pulling back, what is the purpose of Thanksgiving? What is the purpose of Christmas? What if, okay, you go to Thanksgiving, and I know that some of you are walking into families where your sisters, your moms, your grandma, all of them struggle with food. All you talk about is food. All you talk about body image. What would it look like to be the person that stands up? It's like, you know what? This holiday season, we're not doing it. Tell me what you're thankful for. Tell me something that the Lord has done in your life. Okay, they're not believers. Ask them, what are they thankful for? You don't have to be a believer to answer that question. You know what I mean? Maybe you even go even deeper. Tell me one thing you're thankful for your body this year, rather than the 10 things that you hate about it in the last year.
Yeah.
And change the conversation. And maybe that is simply you telling them about the podcast that you listen to right here right now. Like, I listened to this podcast yesterday, and they are talking about how your body is the least important thing about us. Like, let's talk about that and start the conversation. Change could start with you. It might have to start with you. And I think compassion is such a good approach. Same way that if your daughter was talking about her body and feeling insecure in her body, you wouldn't look at your 3-year-old or your 10-year-old and go, I can't believe you're struggling with this. You'd be like, hey, what's going on? Like, what's deeper? And she'd probably be like, a girl didn't want to play with me on the playground. Yeah. And then you can actually talk about that.
Here's what's crazy. I think that what we think is going to happen when we are the first to be vulnerable is that we're going to share this deepest, darkest insecurity, and we're going to get laughed at. We're going to get trampled on. People are not going to relate, and they're going to think less of us. And what's crazy is, like, that is not what happens.
Yeah.
Even if they don't struggle with that specifically, something about someone else being courageous and someone else being vulnerable gives us the power and the courage to do that as well. And y'all need to know this is leadership. So where you are feeling vulnerable, where you are feeling raw, like, I could never have that conversation with my family, or where you're like frustrated because I've tried saying stuff like that before and it didn't go well and I don't want to try again, this is leadership. You can step up. You can actually make a change. And when you're vulnerable, it's not your responsibility how they handle it. It's your responsibility to be faithful. But more often than not, people will be encouraged by that.
Yeah, I love that. And I think another really helpful tip is to go in with a game plan for holidays with your family. Whether that, I think a game plan's helpful if, okay, 1,000%. If they say this, this is going to be my response. If they do this, this is how I'm going to respond. And just inventory that. You know what your parents say. You know what your sister always does. You know the triggers that are typically present. Write them out. And then right next to it, this is how I'm going to respond. And I think that really does tie into a lot of the other questions that y'all asked. And I think a big one is, how do I go into the holiday meal without fear of food? And I think a lot of you talked a lot about you're fearful of losing control around food. You're fearful of that spiral. And I think that honestly goes back to a game plan as well.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I 100% agree with that. And this is a conversation that I want to have really, really briefly on girl, this. Go. I think a lot of the fear around, like, doing too much or, like, overeating and struggling with body image or, like, just doing the wrong things, you need to know that you are going to some extent, you are never going to do it perfectly. You're not going to find this perfect balance of, like, I ate enough, but not too much. I measured out my thoughts perfectly. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Had three nuts instead of four, whatever.
Exactly. And I had this perfect view on food. And I think we're giving some wisdom principles here, but I think we go to the extreme of grasping for wisdom to help us and wanting to do things the right way, which is good. And we forget God's mercy.
That's so good.
And we forget God's love. And you need to know that overwhelmingly in the scriptures, yes, wisdom is there. It's everywhere. But way more than that, the entire story of the scripture is God's mercy towards you, God's love towards you. So you just need to go in, yes, do a game plan, but also know first, coming before me and going behind me is a God who is gracious, who is kind, who is loving, who is merciful, and he knows I'm going to screw it up. I'm not going to do it perfectly.
Yeah, and Romans 8:1, therefore there is no condemnation, aka there is no guilt and shame for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so I think it's so easy, especially around the food and holidays, we're black and white.
Yeah.
It's either perfect, no struggles, absolutely perfect plate, or absolutely screw it, black, terrible, we're disgusting, worthless, failure. When in reality, the Lord isn't either of those. And there's a middle ground. What would it look like to approach food this holiday season with thankfulness?
Mm.
What would it look like to approach the holiday season with honoring your body? Because honoring oftentimes could be having a cookie, having dessert. But other times asking yourself, I think that this is where the enemy gets us the most, is we will eat dessert, which is not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. But oftentimes we'll eat the dessert because the enemy is telling us we messed up.
Yeah.
And it's just this picture of going, am I eating because I'm honoring my body, or am I eating because the enemy is lying to me, telling me that I'm a failure and I screwed up and I'm disgusting? And I've had a lot of conversation with girls in Noble lately, and they are terrified. And it's this binge and restrict cycle. You don't eat all day so that you can eat a ton at Thanksgiving, but then you wake up and you are feeling guilt and shame. In reality, Lamentation says his mercies are new every morning. And the Lord is never going to look at you and go, did you seriously eat the extra piece of pie? You're disgusting. You're such a, you should probably run that extra mile today. Make sure you do the 10K instead of the 5K on Thanksgiving morning, because man, if you don't do the 10K, you're going to gain so much weight. It's like, whoa. My God would never shame me. Mike, I love what you said. His mercies are new every morning. He is a God of kindness and compassion. What would it look like to approach the table this Thanksgiving going, this is a good gift? Food. In 1 Timothy 4:4, it literally says, if you approach food with thankfulness, it changes everything.
That's good. That's really good. I think where that starts, that yo-yo and those feelings, is poor motives to begin with. It's that we approach food as a way to either cope with something, or we approach food as a way to control something, being our image, which then makes us think we're going to be able to control our future. And it's like, that's, none of that is true.
Yes.
Food is such a good gift. Like, it's a really good gift. And Jesus's first miracle was providing wine for a wedding because he valued the celebration. And there's so much about like being around a table. Jesus's body is considered bread. Like, you pray this day for my daily bread. He says, this is how you should pray.
Yes.
There's something about food that is for sustenance and enjoyment. Like, you guys need to know there is also food for enjoyment, and God cares about enjoyment. He literally says in Ecclesiastes 8, there's nothing better than to eat, drink, and do good all the days of your life.
Yes.
So I just think, like, we've got to, like, start really thinking about that. Like, what are our motives around food? Because it's a lot of, like, shame. Like you said, Nico, it's a lot of, I feel shame, therefore I'm just going to keep going, and then I'll start again tomorrow when I'm in the shame spiral and when I can, like, punish myself.
Yes.
And it's like, we got to get our motives right in some ways.
Yes. Okay. And I have so many thoughts on this. Oh my gosh. Like, what would you tell your daughter?
Yeah.
If she had a big meal and then pie, would you ever look at her and be like, yeah, you messed up so bad, you should probably have another cookie?
Yeah. I'd be like, listen, girl.
I'm like, there's no hope. Did you like the cookie?
No, exactly.
Let's change it. And also, this is like probably going to blow some people's minds. And I've learned this. Food is not the problem. Food is a symptom. This is going to be a hot take. Food is the symptom of that you're worshiping being thin.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
What the idol in my own life when I struggle with food is having a thin body, not actually food. Food is the symptom that I use in order to control and have a smaller body.
And then you're having a smaller body. Like, why? The idol there is like the approval of others.
Yes.
Your ego being fluffed up.
Identity and not believing in what the Lord says about you. So food is actually not the problem. Yet the enemy will then make you hyper focus on what you eat or what you don't eat and make that the problem and the solution. When in reality, the solution is believing in what the Lord says about you.
I like that you said the enemy makes it the problem and the solution.
Yes.
Because that's so true. And it's neither.
Yes, it's neither. And it's just the solution on Thanksgiving and Christmas, if you're struggling with food, is who does the Lord say that I am? He calls you beloved. He tells you are honorable and precious in my sight. And when you believe that, you approach the table going, it doesn't matter if I have one piece or 10 pieces. I'll probably have a really bad stomach ache after 10 pieces and I won't feel great. But man, my worth doesn't go up or down. God's plans for my life doesn't change whether I eat one pie slice or two. Reality is the Lord cares. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you.
I love it.
And I talk about this all the time in Noble. If you were to borrow your best friend's body on Thanksgiving Day, would you stuff it with 18 pieces of pie? If you were borrowing your best friend's body, would you take it for a run for 18 miles the next day? No, you'd probably enjoy Thanksgiving meal. You would have a piece of pie. You'd enjoy the dessert. And you'd probably move your body because that's honoring, but you would never punish it. There is no punishment for what you eat. Punishment was dealt with on the cross. We have got to remove punishment from our narrative around food.
Yeah, 100%.
It is the biggest lie of the enemy. I'm so passionate and fired up right now.
I love it. I love it.
Like, you get punished for killing someone, not for eating an extra piece of cornbread. You know what I mean? Come on.
And those are the only things you get punished for. Like, that's it. Isaiah 53 says there is no punishment left for sin. Like, Jesus took it on the cross. And so your sin has been paid for. Every sin that you will commit, every sin that you have committed. And overeating is a sin. Indulging, like enjoying, I would say enjoying is not a sin.
No.
You guys might say, well, I enjoy when I binge eat, you know? Okay, well, you're then enjoying sin, but that's probably a different episode. Let's talk about just some like verses to meditate on or things that you think will be really helpful, because this is a long journey. Like, we are so ingrained with wrong motives. We're so ingrained with cultural things. It's hard to separate out what is good, what isn't good. What do I hold on to? I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because then you just yo-yo from one extreme to the other in an unhealthy way. And also, I think there are some real things about, like, for some girls, the freedom might be like, I'm actually not going to think about food on Thanksgiving. I'm not going to restrict. I'm not going to like pay that much attention, you know? Yeah. That might be it for you. And some of you, it might be like, no, I actually am going to pay attention.
Yeah.
But what are, regardless, like, what are some things that these girls can, and we, and I can yeah. just like think about and meditate on to honor God and be prepared
yeah.
going into the holiday season?
Can I give a couple?
Go for it.
Is that cool? Okay. I think one that we already mentioned is Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's just saying there's no guilt and shame for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so if you feel guilt and shame, whether that is from eating or not working out, fill in the blank, that is the enemy lying to you. And so what would it look like this holiday season to really live that out of like, my Heavenly Father doesn't guilt me and He doesn't shame me. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Another one that I love, and you've heard me say this on the podcast, and it relates to so many things, but Psalm 34:5, it says, those who look to Him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. And the Lord is your helper, y'all. Like He, I know for me, I have to literally envision Jesus next to me as I go through the buffet line. And I will literally, it's like, I know that sounds weird, but I'm like, no, Lord, good. This is your body. What is going to fill it? What's going to sound good to it? What is going to make it feel good inside? And I will literally walk through the buffet line as if Jesus was holding my hand. And I will go, hey, how does this sound? How will this feel in my body? Not what the enemy is lying to me. Not what I think is going to sound good. Lord, this is your body. Guide me and lead me. And I love that because no shadow of shame will darken their faces. When you walk in step with the Lord, whether that be the buffet table, whether that be, hey, should I go for a run? You're never covered in shame. And so be led by the Spirit as you're sitting down. Be slow to eat. Like, I know that sounds weird. I think we sit down so quickly and just gobble it up. Rather, enjoy it. Literally enjoy it. And I think another one, I mentioned it but didn't read the exact, 1 Timothy 4:4, love this. For everything God created is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. And the idea of good versus bad foods, that was taken care of on the cross. Like, we don't have these food rules that existed in the Old Testament. And I don't think a lot of people know this. There were good and bad foods in the Old Testament.
No bacon, y'all.
Come on.
There would be no bacon if it wasn't for Jesus. No bacon
wrap dates on the Thanksgiving meal back in the day. But now, like, that is gone. Those rules are gone. And if we approach with thanksgiving, nothing is to be rejected. Another one I actually had a conversation with the girl this morning is Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. What would that look like this Thanksgiving, this Christmas, to taste, literally taste and see that God is good? And lastly, one of my favorite, or two more. One is Matthew 4:10. And this is a good one for when you're feeling the enemy come and start attacking you. I've used this a lot of times when I feel like he'll come in and be like, you should eat that, you shouldn't eat that, you're such a failure. And it says, away from me, Satan, I will worship the Lord my God, and only He will I serve. Mm. And I'll just keep that on repeat when the enemy's coming in and telling me I should eat this, not do this, do that. It's like, no, away from me. I'm not going to worship a thinner body. I'm not going to worship food. I'm not going to worship what other people think about me. I'm not going to worship the way my pants fit right now. I will worship you alone. And last but not least, Genesis 1:29 is something that I talk a lot about in Noble, but it's right after the creation story when He created man. He said, you were very good. He goes, I give every seed-bearing plant which is upon the face of all the earth and every tree in which fruit is yielding seed. And then it talks about animals, and it shall be yours for food. And we see this picture of in Genesis 1, the very first chapter of the entire Bible, He literally gave us food as a gift. What would it look like to approach holiday food with thankfulness? And the opposite of anxiety is thankfulness. So if you're feeling anxious around food, start thinking about all the things you're thankful for. God, thank you for a family that I'm able to spend the holiday with. Thank you that a body that can even digest the food. Like, start changing it from going, I hate the way my stomach looks, to thank you that I have a stomach that can even digest this food. I don't know. I could keep going. Do you have any, Laura?
Yeah, no, that's really good. I think just as a really practical help as you're going into the holidays, when you change your focus, when you change your gaze, things happen inside of you that are wild. And it's how God created us. Philippians 2 said, I mean, it says to look to the interests of others. And so if you go into this holiday season not obsessing over you and thinking and start praying, you know, I know Thanksgiving is tomorrow, but be praying right now. Who are the people that God has put in front of my path? Yeah. Like, God is really strategic, and He has put my mom, He's put my dad, or He's put, you know, these people. And for some of you, it's like He's taken away somebody, and there is there are other people affected by that and impacted by that grief. And how can I care for them? When you start thinking about other people, when you start thinking about, this is a day that God has made, I'm not just going to rejoice and be glad in it, I'm going to use it for his glory.
Dang.
And I'm going to say, what is it, God? What is it you want from me here? Because I know it's not obsessing over food. That's just not it.
Yeah, that's actually really good, because that, if you focus more on how you can serve the people around you and focus on the conversations that you get to have, food becomes the least important thing at the meal.
Yeah.
If you think about it, the reason you're gathered is not, yes, food is a component, but it's not the reason you're there.
Yeah.
And so when you take food off the pedestal that we often put it on and make it for what it is something that we use to nourish our bodies, but it's not the focal point of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It is, we're here to get to see people that we haven't seen in a long time. Serve people. Be the first one to do the dishes. It'll yeah. make you think, stop thinking about dessert.
Yeah.
Get up and ask a really intentional question to your grandma and engage in a conversation rather than letting the spiral come and take over of how many calories are in the meal that you just ate. We
yeah.
have got to start focusing on the reason we have Thanksgiving, the reason we have Christmas, and food is the least important thing about it. It's yeah. joyful, but it's not the purpose of it.
It's so good. If I was going to leave y'all with one thing, and I'd love to hear this, you know, just like one last thing from you, Nico. Here's mine. I want to challenge all of you to be a leader. Just lead. Like, you are capable of so much with the Spirit of God inside of you. If you have trusted that he died and was raised to life again, that he's Lord, you've given your life to him. You are a leader. And you can bring something really amazing to your family. So what you were saying, Nico, about, you know, initiating conversations, that kind of thing, doing the dishes, serving, it could be like you just bring fun. Come up with a fun game idea. Rally your family. Take a chance. Create culture. I want you to go in and lead. And you can, and you are capable, even if you're not the most outspoken or whatever it is. And so yeah. as you do that, like, you have a purpose there. You're not just, now I'm here to think about myself and I'm going to go back to college, you know, feeling fat and whatever, or whatever it is. Like, you have a purpose there, and it is to lead, and it is to lead people more towards Jesus and to bring a little bit of heaven down on earth
by
creating spaces that are conducive to thriving.
I love that. I think my piece of advice that I would give is claim the victory that's yours.
That's good.
Don't let the enemy win.
Come on.
Like, I'm just sitting here going, every single meal, we have a choice to let the enemy win or not. Every single moment of the holiday season, we have a choice to let the enemy tell us that we are disgusting or we're shameful or we're overweight because of all these things, or literally declare in our truest form, our truest confidence, and say, liar.
That's good.
You're so disgusting for eating that, liar. You're going to gain so much weight. You're never going to get married because you ate the extra piece of pie. Liar. If you do this, if you don't go for a run right now, think how disgusting you're going to look when you go back to school. Liar. Like, why are we letting the enemy win when we have the power inside of us that raised Jesus from the grave? We can literally, okay, imagine this, y'all. If the enemy is throwing lies at you over and over and over again, and all you said from time and time again was liar, 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 what is he going to do? He's going to flee. Because he's going to be so exhausted by you saying liar that he's going to give up attacking you. But the thing is, every single moment, the enemy's going to try to trip us up, get us into the guilt and shame spiral, make us believe we need to undereat, restrict, so that we can overindulge and enjoy. No, liar. Declare the victory that is yours. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But John 10:10, I have come to give you life and life to the full. And I love the fact that the Lord used the word full there. I've come to give you life to the full, overflowing, abundant. That doesn't mean a full stomach. That means taking your thoughts captive, honoring your body, rejoicing, thriving, experiencing thankfulness, and worshiping the God of the universe who looks at you, whether you've had 10 pieces of pie, 0 pieces of pie, or whatever, and goes, you are my masterpiece, and I'm obsessed with you.
Love it. Love it so much. Y'all, we could share so many things with you, but we want you to know that we are praying for you, that we are in it with you. We are being mindful of you guys going into this holiday season. We love you so much. We love your messages. We love the fact that we get to be part of what God is doing in your life. So thank you so much for that. That is a gift and an honor. And we really, really, really appreciate getting to be part of what God's doing in you. And so if you found this helpful, click on Venmo, donate. And if you just need some extra prayer, drop us a DM. Reach out to the people in your circle and let them know that you are going to be struggling.
Yeah, accountability.
It's, I know. That is so real. And yeah, we love you. Anything else, Nico? Oh, we have some resources for you. So check our Instagram, because we both have some holiday things.
Yep.
Nico has one specifically around food, right? Or like fitness. Yeah,
so actually launching in December, stay tuned, is going to be really awesome. Launching a how to survive the holidays around body image, fitness, and food. And it's going to be an online thing. A lot of you have been DMing me about wanting to be part of Noble, and you're not in Fort Worth or Dallas. So the whole purpose is it is going to be workouts, Bible studies. It's actually going to have a video component this year and recipes of how to break free from body image insecurity, all the things over the holidays. And I know you have one too.
I love it so much. Yeah. And on a different note, mine's going to be more general. Like if you are coming back from college for the holidays, if you are a young adult who's coming back with your family and you just want a space to like talk about and kind of learn all the weird things that happen around that, I have a Devo called 12 that's going to be really, thanks. It's called 12 and it's going to take you every single day through something different. So you talk about identity and self-worth and how that's impacted through the holidays. You talk about grief if you've lost someone or if you're grieving just being single through the holidays. So some of those like inner heart things that happen through the holidays.
Totally.
Enjoying your life. It talks about that too. So every single day is going to be a different journey. It's going to take you through scripture. It's super simple. You can do it for 10 minutes, but I would encourage and challenge you to grab that Devo and do it during Thanksgiving and or Christmas for 12 days.
Come on, y'all. Thank you. We love you guys. Hope this is encouraging. Praying for you. Thankful for you. And happy holidays.